Good morning, truth. You know, March is declared Women's History Month, and women, we are some extraordinary beings, and we have been since the beginning of human history. As I was studying for this morning's message, I discovered in my research that 203 women currently sit as judges in the United States of America today. That is absolutely phenomenal. And in 2016, Lori Robinson was declared the highest ranking woman ever to hold a position in the U.S. military. So I say to you all, high five to all of the women who are setting and achieving goals. Women, there are so many things that we have to be proud of, so many challenges that we have faced and overcome, and we should congratulate each other, inspire each other. But I want to talk to you this morning about a woman in the Bible. Her name was Deborah. Yes, I carry her name, and I want to tell you that it's a tough name to live up to. First and foremost, she was the first woman in history to ever be a judge. Deborah was a prophetess and a judge in Israel. Pretty much the top governmental office then is what she held. And she's the only woman to ever hold the positions that she simultaneously held. She must have been something to see. Her story is told in the 4th and 5th chapters of the book of Judges. Deborah ruled while Israel was under God's judgment with a king named Jabin. An army commander named Sisera had oppressed the sons of Israel for 20 years. And here's how she ruled. Deborah used to sit under the palm tree between Ramah and Bethel in the hill country of Ephraim. And the sons of Israel would come up to her for judgment. She was the one that settled all the disputes in the land. She was the one that if one wronged another, she was the one that judged and passed the punishment. She was the law, the only law in the land. I always think that it's interesting to see how those who don't believe women can hold positions of governmental leadership or church leadership get around the passages that describe exactly who Deborah was and what she did and the positions that she held. God clearly appointed her, and Israel clearly accepted her authority. Deborah was what some of us would call a boss. Deborah was not just a boss in name only. It was not just a label for her. She led and employed people in her charge. She was responsible for lives. Not only did she have physical authority, but she walked with a spiritual authority. Authority that was granted to her by God. See, when you are committed to God, and when you make his plans your priority, there's an authority that comes with that. The level of her spiritual authority is demonstrated after she summoned a warrior leader named Barak. Did you catch what I said? She, Deborah, had the authority to summon a warrior leader. And she tells him that they're going to war. And they're going to fight their enemy, Sisera, because the Lord had revealed to her that he would turn Sisera over into her hands. He would give her victory over their enemy. See, when you walk in spiritual authority, God will talk to you. God will trust you with his plans. God will help you walk through taking down your enemies. Now I want you to listen to how Barak responds to her summons. He says, "If you will go with me, then I will go. But if you will not go with me, I will not go." Barak, a warrior, was not willing to go into battle without Deborah. Not because he was a punk, but because he recognized her anointing. He recognized her spiritual authority. He recognized how she was aligned with the will and the ways and the word of God. He recognized that God talked to her. Deborah was willing to go to war, but she let Barak know that his decision would mean he would forfeit any credit for the victory. She wanted to ensure that the spiritual authority that she walked with wouldn't damage his ego. See, when you walk with a spiritual authority, humility is your crown. She wasn't trying to be the boss. She wasn't trying to get all the credit. She wasn't trying to flex and floss. She just wanted him to know she was being honest with him. If I go into war with you, the people are going to say that woman won the war. They're going to look to degrade you. Are you okay with that? She walked in enough humility that she was concerned about how he would embrace that. And she says, I will surely go with you. Nevertheless, the honor shall not be yours on the journey that you are about to take. For the Lord will sell Sisera into the hands of a woman. Let's just pause for a moment and be honest right there. Many men today would have derailed God's plan because their egos would not have been able to stand being a commander, being a warrior, and the victory come down and the woman is given the credit. This is the problem that we are experiencing in our religious sectors today. Men putting stipulations on what women can and can't do. And the bottom line is it comes down to their ego. They fear a woman winning victories in wars that they have been battling for a long time. But this is a different topic for a different day. I want you to know right before Barak headed into battle, Deborah again declared victory. She began to speak the words of victory. We know that life and death is in the power of the tongue. And Deborah knew that too. And Sisera's army was totally destroyed. In the aftermath, there is a very interesting subplot involving another feisty female. And her name was Jael. She personally is the one that took down Sisera, who was the leader of the military army that they fought against. Jael took him out by herself. She drove a peg through his head and killed him. You can read the details in Judges 4, verses 17 to 22. Jael was every bit the spiritual daughter of Deborah. And Deborah praised her in her song by saying, most blessed of women is Jael. See, we don't know about Deborah's early history. There's not much about how she came to realize and walk in the position and with the title of prophetess and to sit under a palm tree and be a judge. But her gifts obviously recognized as genuine, or else the sons of Israel would not have come to her for judgment. These were men that came to her for judgment, for advice, for direction. The men actually submitted to her decisions. Whatever she said, they declared it as law, and they bowed to what she said. Her decisions, her advice, her guidance, her judgment was considered law, and they honored it. When Deborah told the nation to go into battle, they trusted her and believed she had actually heard from God. And of course she had. but I don't want you to mistakenly admire Deborah for the wrong thing and automatically assume you can't follow in her footsteps, especially if you have a softer type of personality. The point is not her assertiveness, because we saw how even in her boldness, she walked with a sense of humility. But it was her uncompromising integrity to be about God's business that made her bold, that gave her strength, that earned her the respect of men and women, that earned her the respect of leaders, military leaders, earned her the respect of warriors. Deborah means bee. That's an important piece of information when studying any biblical personality. A name actually indicates the person's character or their prophetic destiny. If we think about Deborah based on her name, she is quite an appealing role model. Bees are busy, focusing on their appointed task. That's why we might get stung if we don't steer clear of them while they are doing what they do best. Yes, bees are no nonsense creatures, but all the results, all their industry is delightfully fruitful, producing one of nature's most wonderful commodities, honey. I, for one, wouldn't mind one bit being like Deborah the bee, if I had such a sweet, nutritious harvest to show for it. Deborah had a great, fruitful harvest. She didn't neglect or compromise her call from God. As unusual as it was in her time, Deborah was a woman of influence, and her spiritual mantle created an atmosphere of courage for both men and women. God favored her, which is seen most clearly in the Bible's last line about her ministry. Remember that when she judged Israel, it had been under severe oppression for 20 years. The end result was a double portion of victory. The scripture says, and the land was undisturbed for 40 years. I want to encourage every woman under the sound of my voice to embrace your worth. Tap into your true value. You are more than a curvaceous diva with a head-turning hairstyle and flawless makeup. Is there a Deborah in you? Because we sure could use a big crop of fresh honey these days and times. We need women so committed to the righteousness of God that God will trust them with his plan. We need women so committed to God that we're able to summon warriors and declare victory over our enemies. Remember, when you start your day with truth, blessings throughout the remainder of the day is inevitable. And when you commit your heart, your mind, and your soul to the studying of the Word of God, you lay a path for uncompromised joy. Be blessed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My soul. you've cried.